So your first selection, what's the title and briefly, what's the book about?
The title is The Devil in the White City. It's by Eric Larson, and it is a parallel story of the construction of the World's Fair in Chicago in 1893 and a serial killer at large who was building this strange house of death. And so there were these two concurrent buildings going on. For me as a writer, kind of a transformative encounter, because although I now write history, I had never been a big reader of history or thought about history. I'd done a lot of reporting, and I thought if I was going to write something more literary or longer, it would have to be a novel. And this for me was really this eye-opener of the truth really, really is stranger than fiction, and that you can take all of the skills of reporting and researching and apply that to telling that truth and making it really compelling.
And Eric Larson was a journalist. And I have to wonder, do you think journalists have an advantage in writing history that's entertaining?
Absolutely. People who come from a journalism background kind of know digging around and looking for details and storytelling and bringing those kind of really compelling specifics to mind. They're not worried about using big elaborate words like academics might bring to it. So, I mean, obviously, an academic has the perspective of historical research methods and they know what to draw on, which, I mean, for me, I had to go back to graduate school while I was working on my first book, which really was fantastically helpful. But I think journalists just really bring that digging that gets that human element in there.
What's second on your list?
I wanted to bring a work of fiction that really spoke to me on a very personal level. So the second book is Barbara Kingsolver's The Poisonwood Bible, which, if you're not familiar, it's a novel about a family that goes to Congo in 1959. The father is a Baptist minister, and there are four daughters. And they have a lot of culture clash between their belief system, what they encounter in the Congo. I don't want to give away the ending in case people haven't read it, but it's compelling and tragic, and the way the four daughters respond to that experience is really telling. And the book speaks to me particularly because my parents are missionaries. A lot of people don't know what it's like being a missionary child. And although my parents went into the mission field later and they went to a different part of the world, I think this book really captures the missionary kid experience, that kind of sense of being thrown into this new culture, being part of this missionary compulsion, mission, drive that as a kid you may or may not buy into. And I have three sisters, so I come from a family of four daughters, which is the same as in the book. And I have two sisters who are twins, and they're twins in the book. And the four of us had very different experiences, although we were the four daughters of the same missionary parents. I think when the four of us talk, we were different ages and our different things were going on. So we had these very different experiences around this common theme of cross-culture and cross-belief.
The title of the book, The Poisonwood Bible, what is that?
So it comes from a cultural misunderstanding where there is a phrase that the father is supposed to say, which is Jesus's love. And it's a word in the language that they speak in this particular village. But if you say it with a certain inflection, it means that Jesus is poison wood, which is this deadly plant. And so it's this idea of misunderstanding or interpreting the Bible of how you go about it. Barbara Kingsolver is a naturalist and comes from that kind of background. So there was always a lot of botany and plants and those kinds of things.
Your next choice that you brought in.
I was thinking about what choice to bring in to talk about writing history. And for me, it's really, really important to capture the original voices of people who are in the stories and to also look for a very broad spectrum of voices. So this book is called Georgia, History Written by Those Who Lived It. What it is just a compilation of primary source materials that trace the history of Georgia from the very early founding of the colony in Savannah, up through around the beginning of the modern civil rights era. And there are just so many voices that come in that range from James Oglethorpe, the original governor and founder of Georgia, but also you hear from former slaves, you hear from women, there are letters, and parts of it are very sad and serious, and parts of it are very funny, and you learn things you did not know. One of the things I came across, which I really thought was fascinating, was the origin of the word cracker. And so this is a French journalist who toured the state of Georgia when it was still the Creek Nation, actually, when it was still being settled. And so here's what he writes. These crackers are very fond of liquor. When they drink some of it, since they are by nature quarrelsome and mean, they quarrel among themselves and fight. And then it goes on to talk about how the custom was to never cut your fingernails. Now I'm quoting again. I've seen some which are as hard and dangerous as the claws of a lion. And then it goes on to talk about how eye gouging was a big portion of this fighting. And at one point, there were parts of Georgia where 1 in 4 of every man had no eyes.
Yikes. And the Atlanta Crackers baseball team would be,
yeah, so who knew,
would
right?
be shocked if they knew that was the origin.
Yeah. I think it is a great way for someone who is not a history reader to read the history of Georgia, because you're not reading a traditional history book, but you're hearing about these stories and you connect and you really relate to it.
Rebecca Burns, author and journalist, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.